We're looking at two chunks of scripture today. First, Galatians 5:22 is a bit of a review, and then we go into Romans, some really good news. It's in the New Living Translation, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then in Romans, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved, we have underserved people here in Squim, but undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God.
Thanks, Ed. Now, if you're a guest with us, you'll find an extended outline of what I'm going to say inside your bulletin, so you can pull that out. There's a few blanks to fill in, that way you won't fall asleep. And hopefully that will help you hear this passage as well as know how to respond to this passage. Galatians 5:22, notice it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not the fruits of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to have all of these nine inner characteristics in our life, and we're in the process of developing that. The reason why our inner character is so important is, along with your soul and your personality, you're going to take your character with you to eternity. That the Holy Spirit is starting something in you that he will bring to completion as you make your way from this world to the next world, to eternity. So I think we want to take seriously all nine of these characteristics. We want to be about developing them and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us and refill us so that we might display these inner characteristics, not only with one another, but to a world that I think is very interested, very hungry for what it is that the Holy Spirit has to offer us. So today we're going to look at love and joy together. Paul makes a great connection here in Romans 5 with joy and love. Verse 2, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently, and here's the word, joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, that glory is eternal, but that glory is also revealed now. There's something for us in the long run. We know that in our Christian faith, but there's also something very here and now about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know that. He wants us to know that he's active in our life and in our world right now. And he wants us to take advantage of that. He wants us to see and rejoice in the glory that we see of God each and every day. Now here comes the love part. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to to fill our hearts with his love. Here's the connection. Joy is a matter of our inner attitude of heart. And our inner attitude of heart is filled with what? The love of God. Therefore, we can rejoice in life over and over again. We can rejoice when we see the glorious things that God is doing. Now, to me, there's one big challenge to both joy and love, and that is, how do we enjoy God's love and celebrate that? How do we rejoice in the midst of difficult circumstances? Oftentimes, when I carry on a conversation with people, it's about this issue. It's about the issue, well, you know, if God is loving and God is good, then why are all these difficult things happening around us? Why are difficult things happening to me? There is a connection between God's love filling us and our ability to have joy in the midst of the challenges of life. Now we're going to verses 3 and 4. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, and I wrote it in. Now here comes the hard part. When we run into problems and trials, for we know that they will help us develop endurance. Who wants endurance? Oh man, we don't want that. We don't want to have to develop endurance. Oh, endurance makes us think of having to run a long time, a long ways. And more in our instant microwave world, we want it right now, and we don't want to have to work that hard for it. We don't want to have to wait for the goodness and the glory of God. We want it right now, don't we? But one of the things that helps us in terms of our character and what moves us on is that life is not a one-shot deal. As it's often said, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. The longer we live, the more we know life is about learning to run the whole distance. To run each phase and each stage of life with a sense of heart, with effort, with forward movement. And I'm like you, when I run into difficulty, I want to just stop. And the Holy Spirit keeps whispering, no, you can keep going. I will take this problem and this trial, and I'm going to shape your character. I'm going to give you something that you need that you don't necessarily want. Endurance. And endurance develops a strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Isn't that what you question when bad things come your way? You question the goodness of God and the relevance of his plan for your life. In difficulty and problems and trials, it saps our confidence. It saps our own personal confidence, and it really saps our confidence in God. And we question God and we question ourselves, don't we? Now, how do we often respond when problems and trials come our way? Well, we get very surprised. We get a little worried. Maybe we get a little angry about what's going on. We have some puzzlement about it all. Sometimes we want to just stop. Sometimes we want to run and hide. What's for sure is that we don't like those bad things that happen to us. And if we can't embrace the problems and the trials of life, if we're always worried and stressed out, if we're always angry, if we're always on the run, then you know what? We won't see the glory of God and we won't experience it. And we'll miss, I believe, one of the times when God's glory shines greatest in our life. It's in the midst of problems, of trials, of difficulty, of loss, of suffering, of injustice. And that happens more than we realize. It's represented here as we sit together this morning. What we need instead of that reaction, that knee-jerk response to difficulty, is we need some mental help when it comes to difficulty in life. And we need some rearranging of our mental strategy for life. What we need is a different perspective on what's going on. We think it's only about the bad, and therefore we have difficulty rejoicing. The only reason Paul says that we can rejoice in the midst of trial and suffering is because the love of God is filling us. And we need both. We need the love of God on the inside. We need that reservoir of hope and unconditional love in those moments of challenge and difficulty. One of the results of God's love within us and our desire to rejoice in the midst of difficulty, it is really all about the mental strategy of attitude. Of attitude. I like what John Maxwell says. He the title of a book. Our attitude determines our altitude in life. Our attitude is what moves us from just living a life of one sprint after another to a long marathon run of endurance. Now, I'm like you. I raise my hands in the air and say, can't I just be happy? Can't I just be happy? What about happy? I don't need to rejoice and dance and... All I want to do is be happy and comfortable and have life be easy. Well, here's the thing. Happiness is actually an external thing. It's often determined randomly, and it has everything to do and not much more than our circumstances. It's external. By chance, this happens. And how do we respond to that? Now, joy, rejoicing, is really an internal thing. And here's the deal. We can choose to be joyful, and we ought to. It's internal, it's a choice, and it's not determined by the randomness of our circumstances, but it is determined by the plan of God. You mean God plans for bad things to happen in your life? God doesn't have to plan bad things to happen in your life. Bad things happen. It's the world that we live in. And oftentimes, if you're like me, when bad comes my way, I'm thinking God's punishing me or he's mad at me for something. And I spend extra time looking at my, you know, what's going on the inside of me. And what Paul is saying in our passage, in the connection of our hearts being filled with love and a sense of joy or rejoicing, that's really about the fact that God's purpose and plan is greater than any problem or trial that we have. We often think when bad things come our way, somehow that crosses out God's love for us. Somehow that means that we're not in the right will and purpose of God. And Paul makes it clear that's just not true. Yes, some high school girls grow up and they decide that they're going to go out in the middle of a jungle and hang out with people in a fort. Yeah. How does that happen? See, it's a realization that God and his plan and purpose is above all circumstances in life. And God is still working, even in the difficulty and the problems and the trials of life. And it's true, we can't always choose our circumstances, but we can always choose our attitude. We can choose to rejoice in the midst of our circumstances, knowing that God's plan is still active. We're still engaged in that. And I believe the other thing is to realize that God doesn't waste any of the pain in our life. Endurance, well, it's just not handed to you. That's why we need it to be a Holy Spirit directed thing in our life, character in our life. We need it. God doesn't waste the problems and the pain in our life. He uses them, and just because something difficult's coming your way, it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. You might be very smack dab right in the middle of it. Paul says, you need to know a couple of things to make your way through the problems and the trials of life. To develop endurance, to really rejoice and tap into that reservoir of unconditional love that God has for you, there's a couple of things. Well, one thing you need to know. You need to understand the truth about this world. And the truth about this world is it's affected by original sin. You can't always protect yourself and those that you love around you from the sin of other people. That's why Paul says, when you run into problems and trials, it's not if you run into them. It's not if. It's when. And so we shouldn't be all that shocked and surprised, no matter how hard we've worked at controlling everything, that a problem or a trial comes our way. And I don't know about you, but if I'm not surprised by it, I usually can respond to the circumstance instead of just react to it. Have you noticed that when you're surprised about something, it's automatic knee-jerk reaction? We're reacting, we're not responding. And so we shouldn't be surprised. The truth is we will face that. When we run into trouble and trials. And we need to remind ourselves in that moment that God's plan is greater and God will find a purpose and we will find our way to it, through it, and to the other side of this problem. And if you feel like you can't shake this problem in this world, okay, in the world to come, you won't have that problem anymore. And eternity's a lot longer. Go to Rick's class. It's a lot longer than even 100, 110 years on this planet. And so know the truth. We are in a conflict zone when it comes to the potential for problems and trials. Now, Paul moves to a second insight that I think is very important. There is a big difference between believing in God and knowing the God that you believe in. There's a big difference in understanding who Jesus is and having a personal relationship with him. Listen to what Paul says. Our friendship with God. Now, isn't that what you want? I believe that the Holy Spirit has set inside of us a yearning to connect with God. We yearn to be in a relationship with God, and here's the deal. The more we learn about God and the more we learn about ourselves, we're a little troubled that he won't choose us as a friend. We're afraid we're going to be like, choosing up squads in middle school. Right? All the good athletes go first, and then here we are. And I'm like you, no one likes to be chosen last or second to last. And we're afraid that when God goes to call people, he's going to call all the good ones. Man, there's none of us are good. But we're afraid that God is going to choose everyone else and not choose us. And that starts us into this passive-aggressive relationship with God. We think he thinks we're not good enough, and then we begin to think that we're not good enough, and we need him, and we want to connect with him. And so when things are bad, we finally get on our knees and pray to him. But man, when things are going really well, look how great we are. Paul wants us to know he wants a friendship with you, right? John says he knocks at your door and he calls your name. Why? He wants a friendship with you. Our friendship with God is restored by the death of Christ. And if you don't know all those key parts, head to the follow-up room after the service and there's a few people that'll walk you through the whole story. That this world was once perfect like eternity is going to be. And sin, human sin, entered the world and that goofed everything up. Now we're not in a close friendship with God anymore. God's over there and we're over here, so to speak. And we're turning the corner. Isn't Christmas like in two more weeks? That's what it feels like around the church right now. The fall's kicked off. Oh, Christmas is just around the corner. That's the great understanding that God didn't wait for us to get to him. He came to us. And so Jesus was God's one and only son. Total man and total God. I don't know how he did it, but he's God. He figured it out. Jesus died, gave his life, and resurrected, and in his resurrection, he promises us resurrection and eternal life with him. Jesus paid the debt for our sins. Because when somebody sins, when someone breaks the law, somebody's got to pay, right? Well, Jesus paid for us. And it makes sense. An infinite God became finite. dwelled on this earth just like you and I do. He died, he resurrected, he's now transcendent, and one day we're going with him. Woohoo! It'll be Rock the House 3 when we get there. Our friendship with God was restored by the death of Christ. We will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can what? Rejoice. We rejoice because now we have a personal friendship with God. We carry on a conversation with him. We read more and more about what it means to be in relationship with him. And all I could tell you is he talks back and he guides and he gives wisdom and all the good things that you need in life. And I'm like you, I need them most in a moment of crisis or difficulty or trial. And I'm like you, I'm feeling around, where's my friend? Where's my friend? We need an eternal perspective that only God can give us in the midst of our trials and our difficulties. I mean, what kind of friend would God be that just because things aren't going right in your life, he stands back and says, ooh, that might get on me. I don't want to get involved in that. Just the opposite. God's a true friend, and when we're in difficulty, he hangs in there with us. He holds us up. He empowers us. He whispers to it, don't worry, it won't be much longer. He reinforces that in our time of need, that he's our friend, and he loves us. He loves us unconditionally. And so we need to learn the spiritual secret of having an eternal perspective on the circumstances in our life, particularly the problems and the trials. And when we do, then we're able to internally rejoice. And it's better than happiness. We can rejoice. And why do we rejoice? How do we know God is always with us? Isaiah tells us that God is there and he's always with us. I love this passage in Isaiah. It basically says, when you're walking through water and it looks like it's going to go over your head, if you're walking around in fire and the fire is getting so intense you think it's going to burn you up, don't you worry, I'm here to help. You can hang on to me in the water. I swim really well. Don't worry about the flames. I'll put those out. You don't have to worry about high water and flames when I'm around. And don't worry, when the heat's on, when you feel overwhelmed, don't worry, I will be with you because I am your eternal friend, as well as your Lord and Savior. David says, never lose hope. God's plan will prevail. And I'm like you, I worry about that in the midst of problems and trials. It's like, I feel like I'm not in the right place. I'm supposed to be over here where everything's comfortable and easy and it's all going well. But I find myself over here in the real day-to-day world, stuff is happening I don't like. And if my life's all about comfort and happiness, I'm in big trouble. But if my life is oriented towards rejoicing, now I can realize that God's plan will prevail even in the midst of this difficulty, this problem, this trial. There's always hope, David says. And then again, David says that God is our deliverer. He's always there to help us. He's always there to help us. One of the challenges is sometimes we forget that and we call out to everyone else. We wring our hands. But we've left out our best friend. We haven't called out to our best friend. We haven't asked for something miraculous, something supernatural that God can bring our way. And having peace and joy in the midst of problems, let me tell you what, that's miraculous. At least it is for me. I'm a fretter, man. I worry. I stress. I get all anxious and then I want to try to control everything. Maybe that'll fix it. Always makes it worse. Well, most of the time it makes it worse. See, God is our friend. And when Jesus comes into our life and he takes up residency with us, I can tell you, he will not disappoint you. And this hope in God will not lead to disappointment. Man, the world's really good at disappointing us. Have you noticed that? God doesn't disappoint us. God always shows up. He shows up because he's our friend. He shows up because he understands what it is to have problems and trials and suffering. And he wants to remind us, man, you are not alone. I am always with you. I don't care what kind of water, hot water you've gotten yourself into. I'm with you always. Don't forget that my will prevail, and that always gives us hope, even in the moments of disappointment and desperation. We pray, God, are you really going to show up? And the answer to that in the scriptures is, yes, I'm going to show up because I'm always with you. Even though this seems to be overwhelming to you, just remember that my will prevail. There's always hope. And I died on the cross for your sins, not to make you feel bad, not to make you feel further away from me, just the opposite. He didn't come into this world to condemn us and cast himself away from us when difficulty comes. Just the opposite. He came to save us. He came to give his life so that we could have life. And now we've come full circle. See, Paul says that life is filled with the love of God in our heart. And out of the reservoir of God's love comes the ability for us to tap into that and have a sense of joy, even in the midst of problems and trials. Let us pray. Father, you know the trials and the problems that we face. And the funny thing is oftentimes, let's say, we're to blame for at least part of what we're experiencing. And that gets us thinking that you're going to move away from us instead of move towards us, that you're going to condemn us instead of save us, that you're going to leave us languishing in our problem and our trial and not come alongside of us and help us through this valley of the shadow of death. But yet, Lord, that's not who you are. And you declare to us that you're always with us. You remind us that your will prevail, not this problem, not this trial. Lord, remind us each and every day that you're here to help, not to condemn. And you are our hope, and you are our deliverer. Lord, fill us up today with your love so that in an enduring way we might rejoice as we deal with the realities of living in the real world, the problems, the difficulties, the trials. Lord, as we feel around, help us to feel your presence and your power. Help us realize that in our time of need, that our lives are in your hands, and there's no better hands to be in than yours. We thank you for that, and we pray in your name. Amen. And that's it, isn't it? Okay. I didn't read down that far. So as you go today, remember that God loves you.